Good morning. So we read from the book of Proverbs, some proverbs that I'd selected for an understanding about anger and how God feels about that. And so we read in Proverbs, you know, quick-temperedness. We read about the opposite of being quick to anger is being slow to anger. We learned about the nature of that anger and how it expresses itself in words, how hot-tempered people stir up strife. We see how God exalts those who are slow to anger. We also see that that what happens in the destruction when the anger is given full vent. And so this morning, and this is something that you know, to be honest with you, that I struggle with is my temper. I have a bit of a temper, and you know, and I try and subdue it, but sometimes it gets the best of me. As Sean was talking about Wednesday night, I told him that we have a couple of crossover ideas from his lesson Wednesday night to my lesson this morning is just basically about trying to harness what it is inside of us that makes us angry and trying to and what to do with it. And so this morning what we're going to be doing is we're going to be spending time looking at these four things that we have to know about anger. The very first thing that we have to know about anger is that it's destructive. It has a dangerous power. It is a formidable thing that exists within us. But also something else along with that destructive power that anger has, we also have to understand that it has basic goodness. When we have to understand that basic goodness in order for us to be able to use that anger. But we also have to recognize how that anger, that destructive force, can go terribly wrong. But not only that, but we need to know how it is healed. How is this anger then quelled within us? And like I said, the first thing that we need to know about its dangerous power is that it destroys. Anger is meant to destroy. It destroys your body. Too much anger and too much holding on to that anger can destroy your body. We know that the leading cause of death in the United States these days is not violent acts, but it is heart disease. And what we see is that anger itself puts stress on you, and it puts stress on your heart. And holding on to this anger and having it burn inside you is going to destroy your body. There's no question about it. Keeping that kind of stress on your shoulders the entire time is going to be damaging over time. But not only does it destroy your body, it destroys community. Hopefully this is big enough for you guys to see. I just transferred this from a Google Doc to a PowerPoint this morning, and I didn't know how big this font was going to be. So I apologize if it's hard to see. But it not only destroys your body, but it also destroys community. It destroys this connection that you have with people, right? It destroys your connection with your family. It destroys your connection with your friends. It destroys connections with just about anything, any kind of sense of community that you have. And when you use and when you have that anger within you, when you throw words around like weapons, it can dismantle a family. It can drive separation between people and destroy that community. But also, it destroys wisdom. When you have this kind of anger within you, it destroys wisdom. We see that the quick-tempered man acts foolishly, or acts like an idiot, acts stupid. And so we can associate, when you fly off the handle, when you're quick-tempered, you're going to do things that are stupid. I don't know. I've never done anything stupid when I was angry. I don't know about you guys, but, you know. No, absolutely. You know, and you can understand that too, because when you don't think about what you're about to do, and you're about to throw words around like weapons, it is a destructive force. It's either going to eat you up or it's going to destroy someone else. And it's going to destroy things that you've built over time, over a number of years. We look at things like, you know, buildings that we have. And we saw on September 11th, right? We saw on September 11th that the Twin Towers, it took years to build, stood of monuments of architecture in the United States, and these huge buildings were taken down in one day by an act of a destructive force. Unbelievable. But that's what anger is. It is a destructive force. And also, we see that this destructive force feeds on itself. It grows. The longer that we hold on to it, the longer it feeds itself. And we also see that if you're quick-tempered and you allow this kind of anger to be expressed in specific ways, that you will need to be rescued from it over and over and over and over again because it feeds on itself. It becomes addictive. And the more that you can justify that quick temper, the more that you can look yourself in the mirror and say, I was justified to do what I did, the more you're going to believe it every time it happens. When we talk about the aggressive actions in connection with anger, and we justify it, and we keep justifying it, you know, it creates this problem for us. Because it associates that aggressive anger with an action, right? With an aggressive action. And it used to be therapeutic, you know, therapeutic in quotation marks. It used to be therapeutic to tell people, hey, when you're angry, go punch a punching bag for a while. Get it all out. Well, you know, we read in the Psychology Today article by Dr. Art Markman, it says, punching a punching bag when angry makes a connection for people between anger and aggression. It reinforces the link between being angry and acting in an aggressive manner. These connections between emotional states and behavior are an important part of what determines the way we act. And so going out and punching a punching bag when you're angry and releasing that anger through aggressive action is actually something that can help, or that can help, when I say that, I use it lightly, it can help you feed the anger. And so we have to find a better way. We have to find a better way than releasing that anger through aggressive action. We have to find a better way than using our words like weapons and our actions like weapons. So we understand that anger is dangerous. It is a destructive force. And that's important to remember, though. That's important to remember that it is a destructive force because it does have a basic good. Anger can be good. Otherwise, God wouldn't have given it to us. This is a vital human trait. This is something that makes us human, is the fact that we can get angry. And we understand that also, that even God gets angry. We read of God's anger over and over again throughout the Scriptures. But in Ephesians, it says to be angry and sin not. And so we see that there is a separation between sinning in anger and being angry. And once again, God gave us this sense of anger for a specific purpose. John Chrysostom, an early Christian theologian, said, he who is not angry, whereas he has cause to be, sins. So that first line, what he's suggesting is that there are times where you need to be angry. And if you're not angry, there's something wrong with you. There are things in this world that exist that requires your anger. You should be angry. But if you're not angry when you have cause to be, that's not going to get fixed, because your anger is not going to drive a solution. For unreasonable patience is a hotbed of many vices. It fosters negligence, incites not only the wicked, but even the good to do wrong. And so what we have to do is we have to understand that the key is knowing when to draw the line in the sand. We already said that our anger is a destructive force. It smashes things. However, what we have to do is we have to understand when we need to smash things. Because anger is rooted in love. There would be no anger if there wasn't love in the first place. An author, Becky Pipper, a spiritual author, she writes, "We tend to be taken aback by the thought that God could be angry." Right? We talked about the fact that God can be angry, but all of a sudden we're like, "Hey, but wait a minute, Jesse, what you told me was that anger is a destructive force. That anger is a very dangerous thing. So shouldn't we just avoid being angry?" No. No, I'm telling you that anger is destructive, but there's a purpose for it. Even God is angry. We know that God was angry. How can a deity, though, who is perfect and loving, ever be angry? We can take pride in our tolerance of the excesses of others. So what's God's problem? Why is God angry? Love detests what destroys the beloved. Real love stands against the deception, the lie, the sin that destroys. Anger isn't the opposite of love. Hate is. But the final form of hate is indifference. And so what we understand is that when we get angry, this is something that is given to us by God for a specific purpose. We get angry for a reason. We get angry because anger is love in motion toward a threat. When that which you love is threatened, you get angry. And that's a good thing. When that which you love is threatened, you get angry. But the key is to ask yourself what you're protecting. What are you protecting? It pulverizes threats. Like I said, it smashes things. It is a destructive force. But you have to choose when you can use it and how you can use it. Now, I keep telling my classes, in any scenario, the U.S. military is ready to fight two theaters of war simultaneously at all times. And if the entire world, and this gives you an understanding to the scale of our U.S. military, if the entire world went to war with the United States would win. And I'm not saying that because, I'm proud of the U.S. military, which those who serve we should be proud of for their choice. But what I'm saying is that the United States military possesses way more, a way larger and more advanced Navy than every other nation in the world. And that its forward presence and bases throughout the world give it an advantage over everybody else. But the thing is the United States doesn't go and just throw bombs all over the world and bring everybody into submission and plant its flag everywhere. It uses the military in specific ways. Just because you have the power to destroy does not mean that you should destroy it. So one thing you have to ask yourself when you get angry, and you're going to get angry because God's given you that gift of anger, you have to understand that it's destructive, but you also have to understand that it is a basic good. You have to ask yourself, what are you defending? Because your anger is in response to something that you love being threatened. So ask yourself, well, what do I love? What am I defending? And that's where it goes wrong, is the answer to this question. Because when you don't stop and you ask this question, you don't stop and you think about what it is that you're defending, your love becomes disordered. And when your love is disordered, your anger is disordered. And our primary focus should be God and the way that God feels about anger and the way that God interprets someone using their anger. And then anger gets derailed when we decide that we love things more than we love God. Because God does give us a very specific way that we should be dealing with our anger. We've read a few of them in scriptures in the Proverbs. But our anger gets derailed when we desire things more than what we desire of God. And disordered love, like I said, leads to disordered anger. You know, in the cause, what we see is that the cause of our anger, okay, when we think about what it is it that you're defending, we have to analyze it in the way that what is the cause of what we're getting angry at? What is the thing that we have to have? And then we also have to consider what our reaction should be. Like I said, your anger is a destructive force. Is the reason that you're about to use it a good reason that you're about to use it? Is it in proportion to what's actually happened to you? Because you're about to destroy something. You're about to smash it. And what is your goal? Okay, what is the end game here? What is the result that is going to come from you using that destructive force? You see, in Scripture, what we see is that love is a surgical strike. And when we talk about that, we're talking about a specific target with a specific goal. And we have to be careful to hit that target and that target alone. But explosive anger is an atomic bomb. It will destroy everything. So what we see is that when it goes wrong, it's because it's disordered. And there are levels to that disorder, right? First of all, there's the things that tick us off. There's the things that just irk us. When we see it, it just makes us angry. Okay, I was telling Terry the other day that I went to Walmart on a Saturday afternoon before Christmas. There are some people, and I'm just pointing this out, there are some people who don't know how to use a cart. All I want's the bread. I want that bread right there. I see it. It's right there, but I can't get to it because somebody has their cart parked diagonally, and then the other person's there. They're taking in all the breads, all the possibilities of breads that are on this shelf, and they're just taking their time. And I'm sitting there like, hey, let's go, okay? It's things that tick us off. It's things that make us mad. But there's also the level of grudges that we just can't let go of. This one's a little harder, right? This one is harder because this one is more like a slow burn within us. This is the one that oftentimes that can lead us into trouble because this is something that we have to take over time to try and rid ourselves of. These grudges that we can't let go of. But also the third level is the anger towards God. And what we see is that these levels of disorder, you know, from the things that tick us off to the grudges we just can't let go to anger towards God. All these things are destructive and they're disordered because you're putting things before your love for God. And each level that you go through allows the other levels to be fueled, allows the other levels to get stronger and stronger and grow over time. You know, when you hold on to more grudges you can't let go, you can't walk through Walmart on a Saturday afternoon. You're going to find way too many things that tick you off. You're going to find way too many things, you know, in your everyday life that you're just going to lash out on, that you decide, oh, destructive force, destructive force, destructive force. I'm going to use it here and here and here and here. Because you're fueled by these grudges you can't let go, which could also be fueled by an anger towards God that you're not getting the things that you want in life. It feeds on itself. And in this world, we see that disordered anger leads to unspeakable miseries. From destruction of family that we talked about earlier to things like the Holocaust. Anger and disordered anger produces unspeakable things. So how do we heal it? Okay. We've talked about it. It's a destructive force. It is used to smash things. We talked about its basic goodness in that it's used to smash things that are a threat to the things that we love. But I said, you know, you have to ask yourself, what do you love? Because it becomes derailed when your love is disordered, when God's not your primary focus. So, how do we heal it? Well, first of all, we have to admit it. Admit that you're angry. Don't try and convince yourself that you're not. Don't try and convince yourself that anger is beneath you. Even God gets angry. But the key is to be slow to anger. We read that in the Proverbs over and over again, one that is slow to anger. It doesn't say that you can't get angry, but it's one who is slow to anger. And being slow to anger requires you to admit the fact that you are angry. Lying to yourself will allow it to fester and allow it to grow, right? Because you're not recognizing the destructive force that is growing inside of you. And when you admit it, you make it known. And by making something known that is inside of you, you create a vulnerability. You create a relatability. And so if it's someone else that you are angry with, when we address it, when we admit it, it creates a vulnerability. And that leads to healing. And this is not something that is easy for us to deal with, this anger. Because it is, it's so explosive. You know, building the railroad throughout the United States, coming from Sacramento through the Sierra Nevadas and into the Rocky Mountains, they had to use a lot of dynamite, right? But that dynamite just couldn't have been thrown on the side of the mountain. It had to be placed in specific places. But not only that, but dynamite, and for anybody that knows anything about its volatility, can understand that dynamite can go off just any time. Like if it's mishandled, even a little bit, it can explode. And it can destroy everything. And so when we talk about this, when we talk about our anger, when we talk about it as a destructive force, we have to understand that at any time it can explode. And if we let it just explode anywhere, we're going to destroy a ton of things. And like I said, hiding it is just going to allow it to become mishandled and mishandled and mishandled with inside of you. You have to admit that you're angry. And only then can you start to heal it. But not only do you have to admit it, you have to analyze it. Is this an immediate threat? Is the shopping cart in the middle of that bread aisle an immediate threat to me? Nope. It isn't. Although initially, you might think it is, right? Initially, you might think of it. Oh, the person that cut you off on the freeway? Yeah, you saw them coming. Yeah, you knew what they were going to do. They cut you off. Now, they're safely in the lane. You're safely in your car. It was averted, the accident, but you're still angry. Honk, ah, whatever you say, I don't know what you say. Is that threat immediate to you? And the thing is you have to think about that. Is this an immediate threat? Is this what I want to use this destructive force on? And also, don't talk to yourself. I'm not saying you shouldn't ever talk to yourself. I'm just saying, don't talk to yourself when you're angry. Because you pump yourself up. I've done that many times. I can't believe that person has done that to me. You talk under your breath. You maybe even look in the mirror. Get yourself more angry. It feeds on itself. You have to analyze that threat. You have to analyze your anger. You have to, first of all, admit it, and you have to analyze it. What am I defending here? What is at risk? What is being threatened right now? Is it your ego? Is it your pride? Is it your time? Your image to others? You know, I tell kids in high school, and that's part of what we do, as teachers, is we not only, teach them things about, history like I do and civics and all that, but we also teach them how to be people, right? And one of the things that we have to teach these kids is how to deal with things that make them angry, right? And we want them to choose something other than punching someone in the face. And so I tell the kids, I say, you know, at this age, I am 35 years old. I know the beard makes me look a little bit older. But at 35 years old, if someone says to me something on the street that is insulting to me, I might initially want to fight them. Yes, I want to get back at them because they have slighted me and my ego, my pride. However, we talked about that cause, the proportion, and the goal. It was a spoken word to me. If I respond by punching this guy in the face, that's a little bit disproportionate. But not only that, what's the goal? Because I could probably end up in jail or lying in the street bleeding. And so when you take all these things and you analyze your reaction, when you analyze your anger, first of all, you can be angry that somebody says something to you, but it's how you use it that's going to determine how destructive it's going to be. You have to ask yourself, what is it that you're defending? Is it something that actually matters? Is it something that actually matters? Not only do you have to admit it, not only do you have to analyze it, but you have to transform it. It's there. You've recognized it. You've analyzed the threat. And now you have to transform it. We understand that in Proverbs, the 15th Proverb, what we see is that a soft answer turns away wrath, and we'd see that gentleness actually saves people. It turns away that wrath. You know, but sometimes we get this wrath from loved ones. We get wrath from family members. We get wrath from people that we're close with. We get that anger brought to us. But it can't be met in kind. We have disordered love presented to us all the time throughout our lives. Some more painful than others. You know, sometimes when, you know, I'm arguing with my boys and they say something hurtful, you know, to myself, you know, I'm making them go to bed and it's, why do you hate me? Something along those lines. You know, that's hurtful. I don't hate you. And no, you know, I don't hate you. But the thing is that we can be hurt by those types of things, those types of words, right? Their anger is also a destructive force. And they're bringing that destructive force to you, and they're using it, they're firing it like an atomic bomb at you. How do you deal with it? Well, we can withdraw. When that disordered love and that disordered anger is brought to us, we can withdraw. We can run away from it. But the thing is, we run away from it, we save ourselves, but the person there is still destroyed. We understand that anger is a destructive force that can destroy yourself. And if we leave and we avoid it, one of us is going to be destroyed. Or we can come in guns blazing. Right? You fire something at me, I'm going to fire something back at you. Mutually assured destruction. But in that, we see that both of us are going to be destroyed by it. Or you can make that surgical strike we talked about. We can make sure that your destructive force that's within you, when you're met with that disordered love, you can launch a surgical strike with your anger in the sense that you can absorb the anger without leaving and use it to your advantage. Use it to improve the situation. Like I said, anger is just love in motion toward a threat. Now, when we get mad and we get angry and we let it consume us, we are mad at God. We're mad at God because of the way that He told us that we should be managing our anger. We're mad at Him because it's not the way that we want to handle it. And when we continue to be quick-tempered, and we continue to fly off the handle, and we continue to use this destructive force to smash everything, we're mad at God. And you might say, no, I'm mad at that person. I'm not mad at God. I'm using my anger to destroy that person. No, you're mad at God. Because God told you, and you know what to do with your anger, yet you're not doing it.
You're mad at the way that he's designed. You're angered. Like I said, when our love is disordered, when God is not first in our life, our anger is also disordered. Our love for the creation can grow resentment and anger toward the Creator. And if you think you're better than that, that you can be angry and that you can be quick-tempered without being mad at God, you say, well, I'm never mad at God. I just get angry sometimes and I fly off the handle. But you know what? I'm justified in doing so. And you convince yourself of that? No. You want proof? You want proof that when you get angry and you allow yourself to fly off the handle and you continue to use your destructive force to destroy your body, to destroy community, and to destroy your wisdom? Here's your proof. When God became killable, we killed him. When he came down in the flesh, we killed him, we mocked him, we beat him. We threw him on a cross and we crucified him. Well, I'm not angry at that guy. I'm not angry at God, you know. I'm not angry at him. I'm angry with everybody else. No. No, you can't separate that. Because every time that you fly off the handle, every time that you show your anger in an aggressive manner that destroys everything, that is not a surgical strike, rather an atomic bomb, you are driving the nail into the cross. And why didn't God retaliate? Why didn't God destroy us for destroying the thing that he loved? We were a threat. We continue to be a threat toward his son. Well, we see that, and we talked about this morning in our class, that the cup that Jesus bore was not only our anger toward him, but it was also God's anger toward us. And God absorbed our anger and the anger that we deserve. That anger, that wrath in that cup was meant for us because of our disordered anger. And Jesus bore that cup. He said, Father, please forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so what we see is that Christ transformed that anger, right? Disordered anger. God was angry, but it was transformed into God's glory. It was transformed into a surgical strike that saved us. It pulverized the threat of sin, and it saved us. He needed to save the people. And we sing that song, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set Christ free. But that would not have been a surgical strike. And that's the same slow to anger that we read about in the Proverbs. And we can be assured that God is the same. He was and is to come. That his idea of how to deal with anger has not changed. And that's shown here in Christ on the cross. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., in a sermon that he gave before a demonstration, the next day he says, we must love our enemies because love has within its very power transforming qualities. And we notice hate and we think about it. Hate serves to destroy. Love serves to build up. Hate seeks destructive ends. Love seeks constructive ends. Hate seeks to annihilate. Love seeks to convert. Hate seeks to live in monologue. Love seeks to live in dialogue. And it is only through love that we are able to redeem and transform the enemy neighbor. So when Jesus says love the enemy, he's saying love the enemy because there is something about love that can transform and can change and can arouse the conscience of the enemy. And only by doing this are you able to transform the jangling discords of society into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood and understanding. When we use that destructive force to destroy everything, we are using hate, and we're fueled by it. But when we perform that surgical strike, that is anger that is shown through love. So have you considered the power of your anger?
Have you considered the true destructive force of what it is that burns with inside you? It burns inside you when you get angry. St. Augustine of Hippo had said, "Hope has two beautiful daughters. Their names are anger and courage. Anger at the way things are, and courage to see that they do not remain as they are." And so anger is something that is given to us for good. But anger is to be handled very carefully. And when you're about to use it, you need to make sure that it's for something that matters. And you need to make sure that the goal of that anger is for good and God's glory. For we see that slow to anger is saving anger. And so when you consider God's plan for anger in our lives, it's not an easy thing that He lays at our doorstep. It's not something that's easy that we can deal with, because our very nature seeks to use that destructive force to immediately pulverize the threat. But when we seek to destroy everything with our anger through hate, we lose the intention that anger was supposed to have, and that is supposed to be a surgical strike for love. And God made that surgical strike for us. And the great example of that surgical strike is Christ on the cross, bearing our anger and the cup of wrath that was meant for us. So if you are someone who is in need of a surgical strike to separate themselves from sin, Christ's sacrifice serves as the example that God is love. And that even though God gets angry, God uses that anger for glory. And you can be baptized, you can wash away your sins, and you can call Him your God. And if you've fallen away from God, I urge that you seek to restore that relationship. That which you destroyed with God through anger and through hate, you can restore and you can rebuild, because the Lord is willing. Whatever your need may be, if you're subject to the invitation, please come forward as we stand and sing for your encouragement.